Blog Talk Radio.
Guys doing out there today? Coming to you guys live from Revolutionary Gospel News. All right, as I noticed, we had a great event this week, and it was starting off just kind of telling you who I am. I'm Joseph Smith, the writer of the Caliphate, the writer of the Temple, the writer of the Islamic Nation in the Temple Mount, as well as the Devil Workshop, the History of the Church, and the writer of the Cult. In my last book, or the first book I actually wrote, was called The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Return of the Rise of the Antichrist, The Return of Christ. Well, tonight I'm talking to you guys because there's been some great events going on in our country, and it's very much prophetic in nature. But before I even start the show, to give God his due, and just to say a little short prayer for all of us, because people be faking, you know, they talk about their believers, but they don't ever have no struggles or no hard times in their life. Their life is just perfect. You know, I like those kind of Christians who never undergoes any kind of trial and be put to the test to see whether they will stand or not. But tonight I'd like to start off and say a quick prayer, and we're going to go right into what I'm talking about. And my topic is dealing with the father of lies and what we have seen these last coming days. All right, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we humbly bow ourselves before you on this Sabbath. We honor you because this was the day that you chose for us to worship you, not on Sunday, Lord, but this Sabbath. We ask that you would heal our minds according to your word, and whatever fight we're undergoing, Lord, we ask for forgiveness for our sins and the right state of mind to deal with things in our lives, Lord, and to be able to live according to your word, not according to our thoughts, but according to what your word says, Lord, and what it dictates for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and ask that you bless this soul and bless those who are out there listening to this show, that you help their souls according to your word and according to your power and authority. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all. So we've seen this week the Pope shows up prior to the next blood moon. We're probably like three more days out or two, really. I think it's either between, I know it's on the 28th. I'm not looking at a calendar. And so between, I guess, Sunday night and Monday, I believe, the blood moon is supposed to be on the 28th. And I hear conflicting days, but I know they said the 28th. And I'm assuming it's going to be before the night of the 28th. I'm assuming it's going to be, I don't know, we'll see. But the bottom line is we have the Pope who comes out and visits. You know, any of us who've ever watched an End of Time movie, I mean, this thing is something that you did not even have to read the Bible to understand. Anybody who's ever watched an End of Time movie, because back in the 80s, 90s, and not too much in the 2000s, but they used to have all these End of Time movies, and they showed this guy, which they had labeled wrong, but they showed the false prophet as the Antichrist. He came along and he gathered all the people together. He had political clout, so he was gathering the political leaders, and then he had all the spiritual leaders. You know, that was a movie. But it's biblical, it's prophetic in nature of what the false prophet would look like before he introduced the Antichrist to our world. And so these last couple of days, I'm saying anybody who's ever seen an End of Time movie and is dealing with the Antichrist, because that's who they labeled as, but the Bible teaches that that is the false prophet. He is establishing the way of the Antichrist. Just like John or Elijah came before Jesus, the same thing with the false prophet. He's going and making a way to bring him forth in his time. So it's really amazing to see how many people, I don't know how many, I can't say, because I notice in America, I can't speak for other nations, but we're people who sits in front of a TV. I don't, but the average American sits countless of hours in front of TVs and now the different types of electronic devices. But if anybody ever seen a movie of the End of Time, it really is really shocking to see how many people have just flocked to this man in his arrival in America, the Pope Francis. And his political clout is unreal. Every nation and country is paying this man homage. They're bowing down to him and treating him as if he was a dignitary. And then he's bringing all religions together. You know, this is unheard of. This is unprecedented. You have never seen anybody the entire time in our century to ever do that and bring everybody together. I was looking at his interfaith meeting he had the other day in New York. And that meeting contained Sikhs, it was the Hindus, it was the Muslim, it was the Jew, it was the Orthodox Church. You know, and then in Washington, which a lot of people don't, they hear him, but a lot of people don't know Jakes and Warren, of these guys with mega churches, showed up to meet the Pope. You know, and Putin's going to talk to him, I guess, or has talked to him before he talks to the president. So here it is. We're looking at something that we have seen on TV. It's a great mystery to many. You know, they look at it and they don't understand what's going on, and I really don't understand. I say they have really done a good job in dumbing down the media. They have to have, I mean, not the media, but the masses of people, for them to actually literally run out to meet this man like that? You know, it's really shocking. I'm thinking to myself, if you don't even have to have read the Bible. I mean, we've seen so many movies, and that's in a person coming along and uniting everybody, uniting all politicians, all government. But yet, people are like, oh, my God, it's the Pope, it's the Pope. He's here. You know, that's what they're looking at. But the mystery, this is what the Bible calls the mystery of iniquity. And so the mystery of iniquity is concealed lawlessness. And one of the things that was so amazing about when they talk about the mystery of iniquity, which is in Thessalonians. Let me see, I'm going there right now. 2 Thessalonians. And it's verse 7, and he says, for the mystery of iniquity do already work. Only who now lit it will lit it, nor was permitted, until he be taken out of the way. What was the mystery of iniquity? It was the lawless doctrines that had entered the church. It was the gathering of people and carrying them off from the truth. Like what we're seeing today is a true sign of the end. Because Jesus told you, before he came, before his coming, he told you that. And a lot of people say, oh, everybody always been talking about the end, but you have never start to see the people, the main players show up on the scene. This is a main player, people. This person we're looking at, the Pope, he's literally a key figure. He's the first to come, and then you have the Antichrist that's going to come. He's going to introduce the Antichrist to the world. That's chapter 13. And I'm going to look at it scripturally, but I'm just talking right now, just informing you where we at in time, what Jesus told us about this. You know, these people had to show up. He says, he told us in Thessalonians, let's look at Thessalonians, what he told us, we shouldn't be soon troubled in mind or in spirit or by letter as a word from the apostles. You know, because they talked about except they're coming, falling away first. It says now, and this is chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by a spirit nor by word nor by letter, for us, as from us, and others apostles, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man, now notice this is the first thing they're going to tell you, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. You know, what we're seeing it now, what we're seeing right now, and all these people abandoning truth. And I really can't blame them, because when you begin to go into these sanctuaries or these places they call churches and not really even understanding what church is really about, you see so much falsehood. If you know your scriptures, that's why you won't find me in a church today. Because no matter which church I show up at, they talk about their belief, but they don't keep to the teachings that were left for us to obey and to follow up until Christ's return. They bring in all these false teachings, you know, teachings that have nothing to do with Christ, or they add to the teachings of the apostles. You know, the Bible lets you know, and I'm going to go there, but let me finish reading it. So it talks about let no man deceive you, because that's one of the things that Christ talked about when the disciples asked him, when shall thou coming be? Notice this. And this is, and I'm going to keep your hands in Thessalonians. From Thessalonians, I'm going to jump to 1 John and 2 John, I believe, too. If I'm not, I'll tell you when I get there. I'm kind of not looking at that scripture right now, but I know where it is in the Bible. So Matthew 24, and this is what he said. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And the disciples came to him from to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, verse 2, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And this was accomplished in the time of Jesus. Right after his death, when Titus and Nero attacked Jerusalem and they carried Israel off into all the four corners of the earth, scattered throughout the world. That was done. That's the scripture that has already been fulfilled. So we're not at that point. That point is past us. And as he sat, verse 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Now, the end of the world, listen to what he's saying now. When should this be? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Pay close attention that no man deceive you, lead you away from Christ. For many shall come in my name, notice this, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. What are you seeing today? This man has come. He came in the name of Jesus. He came in the name of the Pope, if you want to be honest about it. He's coming here and he's talking humanism, totally excluded Christ. He's telling us that we have the ability to fix the ills and the woes and the, you know, the problems upon this planet without the need of God. This is humanism in its full form. America has become a secular nation and is no longer governed by the word of God. Like the guy I was talking to, actually Reverend Al Sharpton, I was talking on the radio, and we called in because of some of the things they were talking about, love. Love, everybody come on, love, and talking about the homosexual rights. And I said, well, love is with a standard. You're not going to let your kid do anything in your house, right? Well, he explained to me, and I couldn't disagree with the statement. He says America is not a Christian nation. It is a secular nation. You know, whatever you, however you want to live, you can live. See, this is freedom without a standard, really. They got their man-made law for the traffic laws and certain crimes they consider you breaking, but for the most part, we live in a lawless nation. The people vote in how they want to live, and so it's not governed by God. So, as they said, many shall come in his name and say, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You know, so it shouldn't be an alarming thing when we see these guys out here, this great number, this great masses, because even the disciples themselves, Paul warning in verse 3 in 2 Thessalonians, said, let no man, or chapter 2, verse 3, said, let no man deceive you by any means. See, deception. That was one of Christ's first warning. If you look out here today, tell me where's the true church. Tell me where the people are holding to the truth. You know, you can go to church and people, they go there for a little while, and after they really see what these people are about, they're back out. They're disillusioned. That is the thing I wrote about in my second book, which is The Devil Workshop, how many people pile into these churches looking to get to know God. And just like you heard that Pope, and all they're going to do is introduce you to them. They have no salvation plan for you, nor do they stand in the apostles' doctrine, which the Bible literally states there is a teaching, one way, one mind. And so many people go out there and they don't know what they're looking for, so everything looks the same. If you don't know truth, how are you going to tell me what truth is? And so Second John, the Epistle of John, it said, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine, doctrine meaning teaching, of Christ have not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ have both the Father and the Son. And if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed, his evil action. But notice, there is a Pacific. They say those that don't abide in the doctrine of Christ. What was the doctrine of Christ? So you out here, you're looking at this man, he's talking about humanism, which has impregnated every facet of our society. So the schools, first of all, it really went to the place of higher learning. And you had all this Marxism and all this stuff comes in, and the kids begin to learn these ways that are not according to the word of God. It's humanism. It's I can fix it without the solution of God. We don't need God. See, that's what he's been talking about. He's talking about man and dialogue. You know, that's what he's sitting there telling us, dialogue. Dialogue with what? Without God, without Christ. So now we have the ability to fix our own problems. We don't need God. Just look at John 17. That's what he's telling the people. That's what he represents. And I'm going to start at chapter 17 of the Gospel of John. I'm going to start at verse 15. And then this is Christ talking. Well, I'm going to go to 14. Verse 14, chapter 17. It says, I have given them thy word. Notice, he has given them understanding of the word of God. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that they should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from evil. You know, this secularism, this supposed new religious freedom was not abiding by the word of God. Okay, they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify. Sanctify is to set apart. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So a clear understanding of the word of God will separate you from religion. You cannot remain in religion if you really understand truth. You're not going to sit there and listen to people and they don't know the doctrine. And I'm going to jump and I'm coming right back. I'm going to Jeremiah 32 and verse 39 just to give you an understanding where I'm at. In Jeremiah 39, verse 39 said, and I will give them one heart. Look at this, one mind in one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of the children after them. And their children after them. So look what he said, he should give them one mind, one heart, mind. That's a symbolic meaning of mind. You know, it's a metaphor for mind. One heart, one way. One heart, one mind, in one way. Not all these multiple courses as you see the Pope bringing everybody together. All religions together. Okay? That's a problem in itself. So when you sanctify through truth, a clear understanding of the word of God, you will understand what the doctrine of Christ is. He says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them who, the apostles, into the world. He says, and for their sake I sanctify. He set himself apart. I sanctify myself. He would have been involved with the Pharisees, but the Pharisees have done what some of these apostolic Christian churches have done. They have defected. And the lady was right, Kim Davis, when they say apostolic Christians, because when they came from under the Levitical priesthood, they became apostolic, and the Christians came along in chapter 10 and 11. They were a convert into the Jew faith, which was now recognized as the apostolic faith. You know, and so they call it a Christian is a convert, and that's a whole other story in itself. If you want to ask me about that, or you guys can write me or inbox me, however, on my radio station and look at it and send me a message, whatever, and I'll answer that question or talk about it. And maybe I have a question and answer day to be a little clarified, some clarification on it, but it's really not that hard to understand, because when it came from under Moses, which was out of the tribe of Levi, the priesthood went under Jesus was out of the tribe of Judah. And the people he taught and sent out into the world were the apostles, so it became the apostles' teaching. They were no longer under the Levitical priesthood. Okay, and then the Christians started with Cornelius the Italian in chapter 10 and 11, but those were converted to the Jew faith. Okay, so he goes on to say, and for thy sake I sanctify myself. He set himself apart from all this religion stuff. He submitted himself to the word of God. He said that they also might be sanctified through thy truth, to a clear understanding of the word of God, not an interpretation. An interpretation is no more than an opinion. A revelation is a clear understanding of the word of God. So I'm not talking about an interpretation. I'm not talking about something that you can't back up. I'm talking about something that is clearly understood and clearly seen in the word of God. And, okay, chapter 17 and verse 20, he said, neither I pray for these alone, but for them, notice this, also which shall believe on me through their word, through the apostles' word. So when it was saying in 2 John about, and I believe that's 1 through 9 through 11, about if anybody came with any other teaching, then what he had sent the apostles out with, you weren't to see. He sent the apostles out, you weren't to receive them. You weren't to believe what they were saying. in that 2 John 1:9-11. So there is one way, as it said in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 39. And so he's telling them that there's one way. He sent the disciples out. So if you don't know what the disciples' teaching is, then you're subject to anything. You'll follow the Pope, who's only teaching secularism and humanism. He's not teaching that God is the way. He's teaching man has the answer in his own hand. And he's doing this for a reason. He's come as the Bible said he would come. When it talked about chapter 13 in Revelations, when it began to talk about the false prophet, when he came on the scene, what it would actually mean. I'm going to go there real quick to Revelation 13 so you can see what he's doing. And then I'm going to jump into 16, which is like a fast forward. Where is he carrying the people? So you pick up in, because Revelation 13 is written in reversal. So he first starts talking about the Antichrist, then he goes on and tell you who is going to bring the Antichrist on the world scene. It was written in reversal. It says in verse 11, "And I beheld another beast," after he finished talking about the Antichrist, "come up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb," a false religious leader, "and he spake as a dragon, a deceitful." What is Satan? Satan's a slanderer, and he's deceitful. "And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship." Now look at, he calls, okay, so it's in reversal. This is the false prophet going to do this. And then this is Pope Francis. "And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wounds were healed. And he do great wonders, so that he make it fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." We haven't seen this yet, but it will happen. He's going to be able to call fire out of heaven and deceive them that dwelleth on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. So what are those miracles? Those miracles you're seeing right now, those miracles of him being able to bring all these religious people together, you know, that's the mystery of iniquity. How can all these religions come under one umbrella except they have the same father, the same origin? And I'm going to jump down here. I'm not going to read all of this. Okay, I'm going to go to verse 44 because Jesus was rebuking these religious leaders. And it's going to be John 8. In 44, he said, "Ye of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." In other words, whatever his ungodly desires is, you're going to follow. "He was a murderer from the beginning. He set up Adam and Eve for death and brought death into the human family. And he abode not in the truth." He didn't stay in the word of God, in the reality of God, because there is no truth in him. "When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar." He is the liar. He is the creator of all false teachings and the father of it. So that's why they can come together under one roof, because they under their father, the devil. Anybody coming into the true apostolic faith, first of all, like it told you in John 3 and 5, it says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Verse 5 said, "Except a man be born of water and spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 3, "Except he be born water and spirit." In verse 5, "He cannot enter into the kingdom." So if you're not born again, you cannot enter into it. And so in Acts 2:38, when the day of Pentecost, when the church started, the called out ones, not a building, but those who they called out by God to be a part of his coming nation, his coming kingdom, that they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Like it says in Acts 2:38, said to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? For the remission of sin, that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the water and spirit, people. And that is the way you enter into a relationship with God. The Pope ain't telling you that. The Pope is telling you to fix your own problem. Well, people, I'll either put another show up, or I guess Wednesday would be question and answer day. And also, you can hear me again on next Saturday. You guys have a blessed Sabbath day, and thank you guys for coming to my show. Revolutionary Gospel News.